Podcast haben wir Entwicklungen und Themen im Blick, die Cybersicherheit in Deutschland betreffen. Aber das wissen wir alle, Cyberkriminelle kennen keine Ländergrenzen und deswegen betrachten wir stets auch die europäische Ebene mit. Wie wird Cybersicherheit in anderen Ländern vorangetrieben und wie ist da die Rolle der EU? Mit dem Cyber Security Act von 2019 hat die EU eine eigene Cybersicherheitsagentur, die European Union Agency for Cybersecurity, kurz die ENISA, gegründet. Über ihre Entstehung und ihre Rolle in der internationalen Cybersecurity-Architektur sprechen wir heute mit Demosthenes Economou, Head of Capacity Building bei ENISA. Und wie es sich für dieses internationale Thema und unseren Gast gehört, nehmen wir diese Folge auf Englisch auf. Und damit
a warm welcome to the 12th episode of Cybersnacks. We are Simona Utolitano and
Agnieszka Pawłowska.
As always, we are going to moderate also this episode of Cybersnacks, the cybersecurity podcast of the Alliance for Cybersecurity. I'm so excited today to have the opportunity to talk with Demosthenes Economou, Head of Capacity Building at ENISA, the European Cybersecurity Agency. Welcome, we are very glad to have you here.
Good morning, thank you very much, I'm also very glad.
So, let us start with our first question. ENISA is one of the first European agencies established back already in 2004 with the name European Network and Information Security Agency. Since then, a lot has changed. From a temporary agency, ENISA is today a permanent agency of the European Union dealing with cybersecurity issues. In the past year, it has gained more power, more resources, more tasks. So, Demosthenes, can you give us an insight into the history of ENISA and the significance of the Cybersecurity Act in this context?
Indeed, as you said, ENISA was established in 2004. Since then, many things happened. Sometimes I resemble our story with the growing up of the child. So currently we're going, let's say, over our teenage years and becoming more established. So the main changes that happen over the year, always the spirit behind ENISA and the main intention behind ENISA, it's unchanged. In essence, it's a center of excellence that's supposed to provide support to European member states, European industry and citizens on cybersecurity matters. And of course, what is a very important and central part on this is facilitate activities at European level where it makes sense to have a coordinated action at European level instead of only national level. And at the same time, be, let's say, the hub of the transfer of best practices among member states. As you said, over time, we had a lot of changes, mainly from a temporary to a permanent mandate. But I think what is the most important part in this passage of the first 15 years would be the fact that what happened with the Cybersecurity Act and the new responsibilities and role and resources that it brought to ENISA, which I'm sure that we will have also the chance to discuss later on it.
Yes, exactly. And exactly on this point, on the Cybersecurity Act, as you said, this is really important key legislation for ENISA. On the one hand, we have this new permanent agency, new mission, new tasks, but on the other, this certification framework. And exactly on this, I would like to go a little bit deeper. What is exactly the goal of this cybersecurity certification framework? And here, which role is gonna ENISA play?
On the many different things that are brought for ENISA through the Cybersecurity Act, because there are many improvements, let's say, on our role. As you rightfully pointed out, probably the certification framework is the game changer. It's something that was not ever foreseen within the role of ENISA, let's say, at the infant years of ENISA, while we were having the temporary mandate. In a nutshell, very simply, what we're talking about is setting together with European national authorities and industry priorities for certification at European level, what is strategically for our industry important to set as priorities, and with the help of ENISA, creating European certification frameworks on certain strategic areas, let it be 5G, let it be cloud computing, what are considered to be our strategic priorities in the area of cybersecurity and telecommunication in general.
Yeah, that sounds really challenging tasks for sure. I'm now curious to learn a little bit more about your mission. We said you are head of capacity building at ENISA. What does it actually mean to be head of capacity building?
In a nutshell, we are the unit responsible on improving the cybersecurity capacities at member state level, at national level. If you dissect the term capacity building on cybersecurity, you can see various activities that are necessary in order to improve your capacities. Let it be trainings, let it be exercises, let it be CTF cyber competitions, things like this. So our team is responsible, and actually the Cybersecurity Act played an important role there because it increased and made more prominent the role of cyber exercises and training, for example, at member state level. Our team, therefore, is responsible for the organization of cyber exercises, the organization of trainings. A big change on the latter part, for instance, in the Cybersecurity Act is the fact that until now our trainings were mainly focused on technical trainings for the CISET community, but through the Cybersecurity Act, we see that we are now having also a role on more tactical trainings, not so technical as it was in the past. And this is one of the big game changer for us, for instance, in the context of the CSA.
How would you actually describe the cooperation between European member states and ENISA? I can imagine with cybersecurity issues, that's definitely not so easy. We are still talking about security, and maybe for some countries, this still remains a sort of own competence area, as we all know. But of course, I can imagine that these kind of trainings and exercises are helping a lot in creating this cooperation and trust. What's your experience there, and how would you describe this cooperation?
This is a very interesting point that you raised, because it's been a discussion, obviously, within the circle of colleagues for a very long time. One thing that I remind to my colleagues in relation to this is that we should not forget the amount of distance that we have covered over the last 10, 20 years. If we would have this discussion more than 10 years ago, probably the reaction from the other side would be there's no way, any point for collaboration at European level. We have covered a lot of ground. Now there are many topics, as the one that you mentioned, where it's very clear to everybody in Europe that there is a clear benefit out of collaborating at EU level. Perhaps not in all aspects of cybersecurity, because as you mentioned, yes, there is a sovereignty issue in relation to cybersecurity. Nevertheless, there are many, many topics, trainings, exercises, CTF competitions, information exchange, certification that I mentioned earlier, where we can see a clear added value by addressing the issues at the EU level. And I think up to a certain extent, this is a no-brainer. I mean, you cannot impose borders on internet. So something that affects country A, it's for certain going, or very likely going to affect country B. You will only gain by the transfer of experience. There is nothing to lose.
Yeah, we have seen this already in the past with different cyber incidents. That's definitely a really good point. Agnieszka.
Thank you very much, Simone, because now I have one specific topic. Speaking about collaboration on a European level, there's one topic which is well known in Germany. This is the European Cybersecurity Month. This is an important instrument of ENISA to develop awareness for secure handling in cyberspace across national boundaries. We also held our discussion on the podcast in October, which is actually the Cybersecurity Month. As the coordinating body for the Cybersecurity Month in Germany, the Federal Office for Information Security, the BSI, informs organizations and companies that deal with IT security issues about the month of action and encourages them to get involved accordingly with their own actions. In the unlikely event that our listeners are not familiar with it, what is the idea behind the European Cybersecurity Month?
Indeed, the Cybersecurity Month that takes place this month of October, every October actually, it's an awareness campaign on cybersecurity issues that take place across Europe. The focus and the emphasis varies from year to year and from country to country, depending on the national priorities and also on the trends that are happening in the world of cybersecurity every year. As a matter of practice, I would say the Cybersecurity Month, like some other projects of ENISA, is a very typical case of an ENISA project. What I mean is that the approach we follow is a very typical ENISA approach. What we have is national authorities with their national industries collaborating to have national campaigns on cybersecurity matters. And this takes place irrespective of the timing. This takes place across Europe in many countries, not only in Germany, but also in other countries. So what we try to do through the European Cybersecurity Month, let's say, umbrella and the help of ENISA, is create a European layer on top of these national campaigns. So member states will continue to have these campaigns. What we try to do is provide, first of all, some coordination on the main messages that we want across Europe to pass through the campaign. And we have such examples like, for instance, think before you click, or cyber because, or women for cyber. These are some of the, let's say, the most typical hashtags that go around the European Cybersecurity Month. And at the same time, we try through the help of ENISA to transfer experience and knowledge and best practices from country A to country B. Because, for example, you might have some colleagues in another country that they have tried a type of campaign some time ago and they have a lot of experience gained out of this. Instead of you to try to reinvent the wheel, you can benefit of this experience. This is why I mentioned that this is a very typical example of the ENISA intervention in this area. You have national initiatives going on. There is nothing wrong with these national initiatives. And what we try to do is, first of all, introduce this European, let's say, harmonization layer on top of this in order to have some common messages, and also help member states by transferring of best practices from one to the other.
You already mentioned one of the hashtags, one of the mottos of this year, think before you click. What is behind the motto and what would you like to point out in particular this year?
It's not new, first of all. It's something that it's been around for some time and I'm afraid it will continue to be around. It's so simple, but it works. What changed this year and made it also very topical for this year is the fact that over the last 2 years with the experience with the COVID pandemic, what we have is that a lot of people working from home. As a result of it, we saw a surge and a rise on the phishing attacks that we see for people in their private accounts. It's very easy to explain to somebody what is going on once somebody has the experience. It's quite simple, but it works. And this is why we felt with our partners from national authorities that participate in the Cybersecurity Month that especially this year, due to the experience of the pandemic, is very topical to raise awareness to European citizens of this type of attacks coming usually through emails or mobile phones, resembling very much in a very sophisticated way, usually a credible source. Let it be a bank or some other type of providers, that in spite of the fact that they have been around for many years, they're still on the rise.
This is something we can see also in Germany. We have spoken a lot about in the early podcast episodes, how the surrounding changes and therefore the awareness should be also for the new surroundings in home work, home office. There should be a new training for that situation. Let me come back to the European Cybersecurity Month. And in Germany, for example, in 2020, about 150 partners with around 300 activities took part in the Cybersecurity Month in Germany. A very large number of participants came from the business sector. What is the situation in other countries? What is the response like there, and from which sector do most of the participants come?
So, as I said, each of the national campaigns is conducted according to the priorities of each member state. So in some cases, as you said, you might have interest by the industry sectors. In other, it can be users association. What we see lately, at least in Europe, as being, let's say, a trend and a surge, is more the involvement of SMEs in such campaigns. For many, many European countries, small and medium enterprises are becoming, let's say, on the business domain, one of the main target audiences for these campaigns. And I think it's natural not only because there are many of them and for the critical role they play in the economy, but also on the fact that such size companies, they cannot invest similar to a multinational company, that is, on cybersecurity matters and data protection. Therefore, you need to provide them tools and help in order to assist them to do this. At the second level, also for some member states, the priority goes on targeting different general citizen groups. In other cases, elderly or young people, depending on the priorities of the country. On that level, I would say perhaps the challenge is much, much bigger, in the sense that the audience is much larger, much more diverse, different approaches to technology, you see, and to privacy, for example, you see from younger people compared to the older generations. And also on the media and the tools used, we see a lot of variation there, because reaching these different audiences and these different age groups by traditional media, for example, is not always something that works.
So, still a challenge to come. Thank you very much for this very interesting insights and the interesting discussion.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was a really, really an interesting discussion. And now it is time for our CyberSnacks Radar. At the end of each episode, we present topics that are cybersecurity relevant for the coming period. Demosthenes, what do you have on your radar?
I would like to highlight a couple of topics. I mentioned at the start of our conversation the Cybersecurity Act and the challenges it brings for our team at ENISA, for example, from the area of exercises. What we see as a result of the CSA, but also this year and the outlook for next year, is that we see a huge increase in the demand for the organization of cyber exercises at various domains, not only national authorities, but we're talking national, private sectors, also international organizations, European organizations. So this year, for example, we're reaching the first year that we are confronted with a situation that we cannot face the demand. And this, we believe, that will be a situation that will be aggravated in the coming years. So in that respect, we need to change our practices and the way we approach the support we provide in these services. The same we see on exercises, on training. On trainings, until now, our emphasis was on technical trainings, targeting very specific community, namely the European CISERs. But now we need to expand and go to more tactical and more high-level training, addressing a very much larger audience. This means that we need to adapt our practices and see how we can satisfy this surge of demand. Another area where we see a huge interest from our perspective on capacity building is that on cyber competitions, CTFs, capture the flag activities, that take place throughout Europe, at European level, and there are many addressing young people, because it also satisfies the problem of the lack of skilled personnel in our area, which is very acute actually over the last few years. As a matter of fact, in addition to a European competition on cybersecurity that we organize in collaboration with most member states, we are now in the process of organizing an international competition where we'll have a Team Europe competing against other regions. I would say that these are our main challenges for the next couple of years.
Wow, yes, that sounds really challenging. Agnieszka, what do you have on your radar?
Well, Simona, the October is not only the European Cybersecurity Month. In October, the BSI represents the annual cybersecurity report. That's why the report and its findings, they are on my radar. And in the next podcast episode of CyberSnacks in November, we will take a closer look to it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. On my radar, I also have something related to ENISA that I find very, very interesting, which is this SME tool. I think that's a really, really great initiative. This was announced during the European Cybersecurity Month by ENISA, and it's a sort of dedicated platform where smaller companies in need of information, they can just go into this one-stop shop and find all information, guidelines, tips, everything needed to enhance their cybersecurity and resilience. So I think it is a really good initiative, because there are so much information out there, it's just not so easy to find it. So I really want to encourage you all to have a look at the website. And of course, you will find, as usual, the link on our show notes.
May I add something in relation to this?
Yes, of course.
Indeed, that's the case, and I mentioned it. I made a reference to it also in relation to the Cybersecurity Month campaigns, the work we do on SMEs. And I would like to put an emphasis on the intention that this is not a one-off activity. This we would like to be an activity that we invest in long-term. So this one-stop shop that you mentioned, it's indeed our intention, and we try to build on this, trying to provide to SMEs not only information material, but also some tools that they can allow them, without having the expertise, to do an assessment of their security state. And following the assessment, what can be the steps after this. So our plan for this activity within the next couple of years is to further enhance this portal, this homepage, by adding not only information material, but also some tools that will help SMEs. Thank you.
Yeah, this sounds really, really a great initiative. Thank you so much. And with that, we are reaching the end of our episode for today. At this point, I really want to thank you all for listening and thank you the mostness for the interesting conversation and the great discussion. As usual, we are happy to hear your views, comments, inputs on this episode, as well as to get your suggestions for future topics and guests. So just send us an email at info@cyber-allianz.de or just reach out on Twitter @CyberAllianz. Thank you really much for listening and stay cyber secure.